Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to open your word once again and be able to dig down in there and be able to study some of these prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled, helping us have just a little bit of a look of what's going to happen in the future to help us be prepared and help us be able to spread the gospel that much more today and encourage folks to let them know that they need to be ready so that they don't have to go into that terrible tribulation that we'll be studying about. Thank you so much. Lead, guide, and direct all of this and open our hearts and minds so we can receive the knowledge that you want to put upon us tonight. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. The 20 prophetic events yet to be fulfilled, or 20 prophecies to go, as I have titled this series that we're in here, based on the list that Tim LaHaye has in the back of his Prophecy Study Bible. We are now on number 6. We touched briefly on this, but let's go into a little more detail on this here about the two witnesses. You will turn to Revelation chapter 11. Now there are, as we have spoken, theories about who these two witnesses will be. But they are theories. We are not given the names of the two witnesses. But based on different principles that we find in the Bible, one of them being that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. We know there are two people in biblical history that did not die, and that is Enoch and Elijah. So it's a good possibility that the two witnesses will be Enoch and Elijah. Some say it'll be Moses and Elijah. Seem like common. Everybody seems to all have a consensus of saying that Elijah is going to be one of them. The second one, they're not so certain on. So those are theories, because we're not given the names. The names of those men is not in the importance. The fact that they are preaching the gospel, they are appointed to do that by God. They are sent down here as witnesses at the beginning part of the tribulation to preach the gospel, been given special supernatural powers to be able to protect themselves right on up to the midpoint of tribulation where Satan is allowed to kill them. They will be killed there and left in the streets for 3 days. And then the Lord will raise them up and they will ascend to heaven. And that will be witnessed. And let's get right into Revelation here and you'll see what I'm talking about. Revelation chapter 11 in verse 1. It reads, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them." Now, verse 7 here actually gets into number 10. Picks that up in item number 10 where they're killed. So let's not go into their killing just yet. I give you a general overview of what's going to happen. So up to this point, we know and we see here that what is prophesied is that there will be these two witnesses. And they will be given this awesome power and be given authority to be able to control plagues and be able to control the weather, whether it rains or not, and be able to have an opportunity, or I should say an ability, to strike down anyone who tries to hurt them, because they have an appointed task and an appointed time to preach the gospel. And that is from the beginning of the tribulation all the way to the midpoint. If you calculate these days out, that's where it works out, like 3.5 year point. That's their time prescribed, given them by God to do the job that they have been given. That's their purpose. Before we get into their death, let's look at the very next one, which are more of the gospel preachers, which is item number 7, which is the 144,000 of the Jewish witnesses, the ones that are chosen out of the 12 tribes of Israel to be the preachers during the tribulation time. Now, these are devout Jews that were left behind during the rapture because they did not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But once into the tribulation time, the Lord manifests Himself to them in such a way that they do get saved. They do receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And God seals them and gives them a task of spreading the gospel during the tribulation time, and protects them, supernaturally protects them. The 144,000 will be protected. As we know, through the tribulation time, there will be millions of people slaughtered, but the 144,000 will not. They will be protected supernaturally by God to do the task that He has set for them, and that is to preach the gospel. So they, you can go all the way back to chapter 7 of Revelation, and we will see where it picks up and introduces these 144,000 of the Jews that are preaching the gospel. Because we know the witnesses that we just read about, they also, if you're looking at the timeline now, that's what gets confusing when you're looking at Revelation. The order that is written throughout the book of Revelation is not the exact chronological order of events because so many things are overlapping, and he'll go from the beginning to the end, and he'll back up, and he'll hit some highlights, and so it jumps all over. So that's why we're going from 11 back over to 7 now, because the mention of the two witnesses actually goes all the way back to the very beginning of the tribulation. So it would be like, well, shouldn't that be in chapter 1? Well, no. But that's just the mysteries that are in there. That's a little more extra challenge, a little extra temptation for us to want and desire to dig in there, to decipher it, to study it. Okay, this is a puzzle. This is enticing. So let's try to put this all together. And it helps sometimes to do things like that, to get it to where the people that really want to know have to work a little bit to find it. And then when they find it, it's just that much more rewarding. And the ones that are casual and really don't care much about it and read it all, why is this even in the book? Because it's too confusing. It's all symbolic. You know, they'll say all kinds of stuff about the book of Revelation because they don't understand it. They haven't taken time to dig down, dig in there and study it. If you do that, it just draws you right in. But anyhow, let's get right back into it here in chapter 7, about the 144,000 Jews, picking it up right here in verse 1 of chapter 7. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Notice the similarities here. Satan always likes to come along with a counterfeit. Now, these witnesses are sealed in their forehead with the seal of God. And then later you start finding out about the Antichrist at the midpoint where the Great Tribulation starts. And he starts making folks have this seal of Satan, the 666, or the mark of the beast, however it will be presented, in the foreheads or in the hands of those that trust him and follow him and deny God. A counterfeit, just like Satan has his counterfeit Trinity. You got Satan, the Antichrist and the false prophet, mimicking or copying the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Sealed in the foreheads. God sealing the witnesses right from the beginning of the tribulation. Midpoint of the tribulation, Satan says, hey, that looks like a good idea. I think I'll get my guys to take on a seal. And the mark of the beast, sealed in their foreheads. He also uses the hand. Now, in verse 5, he starts naming those tribes. He names all 12 of the sons of Jacob, which is also known as Israel. All those tribes, 12,000 of each one, which gives you the 144,000 witnesses. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Isn't it awesome that there's going to be such a revival that you're going to have these millions of people that are going to get saved during the tribulation? A time when the Holy Ghost is going to work so much differently than He works now. There's not going to be a vast number of people that are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, preaching the gospel all over the world. There's going to have to be this special group of this 144,000 to preach the gospel on this entire planet. And then the two witnesses. And then from that, the power of God works and millions get saved. And this vast amount of folks get saved. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Note, this is talking about this vast majority of all those people that wind up getting saved in tribulation. He's speaking of after they done got killed during the tribulation, and now they are in heaven before the throne of God, praising and worshiping. They are the ones, as he points out here, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, out of great tribulation, the ones that killed for confessing Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Just like what we have prophesied for eternity is coming to all those that believe and trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, in the new heaven and new earth with all that wondrous things. So we see that these 144,000 are going to have quite an influence, and yet a lot of those folks that they preach to are going to get slaughtered, going to get killed during the tribulation time. But the 144,000 will be sealed, they will be saved, they will not have a problem. Now, if you will, look over in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus teaching what you call the Olivet Discourse here, talking about the coming tribulation, talking about the last times, the last days. And in Matthew chapter 24, let's look at verse 14 here. He starts telling them about the gospel. It reads, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The reason I'm bringing this one up, I want to point this out, is this is a verse that is taken out of context, that is taken and used in the wrong time period. We've got to understand, what is he talking about? When you're looking at prophecy, remember the three things you've got to think about, or the three categories of people that are prophesied about, which is the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church. And then the three categories of prophecy, whether they are prophecies that have been fulfilled, whether they are prophecies that are being fulfilled, or whether they are prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. And also, are there prophecies concerning which time in the future? In the church age, in the tribulation time, or in the millennial period? So we have these different time periods of different things that are going to be going on. So you can't take something out of the tribulation time, a prophecy concerning events that are going to take place in the tribulation time, and try to pull it up and move it into the current dispensational time period we're in right now, which is considered the church age, which is prior to the rapture and prior to the tribulation. So you can't pluck that out of that time. Okay, let's apply this here, which is what is being done many times with this verse here of Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, where it says, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all this world, all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." They take that, which is talking about an event that is going to take place during the tribulation, and they move it to the now, the church age, and say that's why we have to spread the gospel throughout all the world. Because this right here tells us it's going to go to all the world. Once we get it all preached throughout the whole world, then the rapture will occur. Then the tribulation will occur. Or if they don't even believe in a rapture, they say, once we get all this preached everywhere, then the tribulation will kick in. Or the millennial period will start. So they get it all confused. Because they're taking it out of context. They're plucking it out of the wrong time period that it's prophesied for and applying it to now when this is a prophecy about the tribulation. Because we have verse over verse that we've always used and studied, and I'm always repeating about how God has manifested himself and will manifest himself for all mankind before they pass away. That is not what he's talking about here. Everybody will have an opportunity of salvation before they die. That's set from all time of any period, church age, tribulation age, whatever. Everyone will have a fair opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Whether we go around preaching it and teaching it, or whether we go around handing out Bible tracts, or whether we have a missionary going to all the outreaches of all the world, whatever, it doesn't matter. None of what we do is going to change the timeline, the set time for when the tribulation will start. Whether we preach the gospel or not, it's going to get done in this dispensation, or time slot, as well as the tribulation time period, it will be done. Because as we've been reading here, during the tribulation time, the 144,000 will be chosen to spread the gospel throughout the entire world. The ones that they preach to preaching, and the ones they preach to preaching to the others that are preaching, and so forth, it multiplies. And that is the time period he's speaking of here, because he just got through teaching them about the last days. If you read the beginning part of chapter 24 here, you know he's talking about the things that are going to be going on during tribulation time. And when he says, "And then shall the end come," that's the end of that whole dispensation or time period, however you want to say that. The tribulation is at the end of that period when all the people are preached. The entire world will be given, all the kingdoms of the world will be given the gospel during that 7-year period of the tribulation. Because you've got the 144,000 preaching the gospel. You've got the two witnesses preaching the gospel. And if you will turn back over to Revelation chapter 14, a reference, the only references that you're going to see of angels actually preaching the gospel is found in Revelation. We have the angels presenting different information throughout history, of course, talking to the shepherds about the nativity. That was good news. If you really got down into fine technicalities, yeah, that could be considered spreading the gospel. But not like this to talk about. I wouldn't talk about salvation then. It was talking about Jesus is born. So, but to spread the gospel of the finished work of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom, there again, you got to understand which kingdom he's talking about. The kingdom of Christianity, the kingdom of the millennial period, or the kingdom being the eternal state. Got to qualify that as well. Got to know which time period he's talking about. But here in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6, you see an angel. In verse 6 reads, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him. For the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." Right there lets you know that the gospel will be preached by an angel to everybody on the planet, along with the 144,000 doing their work and the two witnesses doing their work. He will not be around flying and around and preaching the gospel before the rapture. He comes and does that during the tribulation time, which falls right into play with what Jesus is teaching the disciples when he says this, the everlasting kingdom, preaching about the gospel of the everlasting kingdom. That's what he's talking about here in Revelation. And then the end will come, which is when Jesus Christ comes back and sets up the millennial period. The end of that dispensation will occur, and then he'll establish his millennial kingdom. So don't get those confused when people try to use one and pull it out of the wrong time slot and apply it to today. You got to plug the pieces in their proper places. Those of you who like to do puzzles, you know, you got to take the puzzle piece and put it in the right slot. You can't go get the scissors out and cut the little tabs off and say, "Now it'll fit. I can just fit it right in here." But see, that's the way some people try to do with the gospel. They'll take a piece out, a piece out over here, and they'll trim a little edge here, trim a little edge there, and make a whole new picture. It looks like one of those modern art things where it makes no sense. Looks like they just went nuts and slapped a bunch of paint on the wall. That's the way some people do with the scriptures. You got to take the puzzle pieces and put them together to make the clear picture and make sure those pieces plug in properly. And the only way you can know that is when they fit without any contradiction to all the pieces that are around it. And as you see, this will do when you put all that together. So number 8 on the list is the 7 seal judgments of worldwide magnitude will include a world war that kills 25% of the population, an unprecedented martyrdom of believers, which we just read about being there before the throne of God, and a great earthquake. And if you will, turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer." Who can tell me who is this guy on the white horse? It's the Antichrist, yeah. We read about him previously there, and up in item number 4. He is the one that has the bow, but there's no arrows on there. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." Now he has a weapon that will actually do damage. And this is the peace going away will be at the midpoint of the tribulation when we get into the timeline. "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." In verse 7, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?'" Of course, these we've already mentioned earlier. Those are the ones that get killed after being preached the gospel to during the tribulation time, that have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, denied the Antichrist, and they killed him. "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they should be fulfilled." As they were killed, should be fulfilled. So there's still more of the tribulation going. So there'll be more that will die through that. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." But we can see there's going to be some horrible things that are going to be going on, and we'll get into this item number 8 on the seven seal judgments next time here, and to do it further justice.